Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning, and I also want to welcome everyone here. I have been inspired being here this morning. I want to commend Lester and his devotional this morning. It was very fitting with a message I have to share, and I have to think about how God does that in a service. How he'll lead people to speak about something and the songs we sang and our Sunday school to sort of go in a certain direction. But I really appreciate that those thoughts and that devotions and also what was shared in Sunday school. This morning, the title of my message is Let's Keep Christmas. I know that sounds weird to you. But I want to first explain why I want to preach this November 25th instead of December 25th. If we wait until Christmas time, Christmas Day, to share this message, it's too late. Because this is about having Christmas as we go through the season. And I want to encourage us while we are in the trenches, so to speak. You know, a lot of times we wait till Christmas to speak about Christmas, and it's like, I wish I would have thought about this 2 weeks earlier. And I want to encourage us this morning. My main purpose of this message is to help us to think more correctly about Christmas. As I studied for this message, a question that seemed to keep coming back to my mind is, how do I believe about Christmas? And I was thinking about, what if I had been isolated from society my entire life, and then in seeking for meaning in my life, I found the Word of God. And I came upon the story about the birth of Jesus without having all these teachings and history behind me. How would I practice the Christmas season if I had no history or culture that celebrated Christmas? And it puts it in different perspective for me, because it helps me to look at the heart of the matter. How we believe about Christmas may at first seem unimportant. And why do I think I have to reinvent the wheel of Christmas anyhow? There are so many people that who have had this same question, and this thing is sort of bothering me here. I'm sorry about that. But that have had this same question, and they have tried to come up with how they feel about it. And they've, all through these years, in the last 2,000 years, you know, we see a lot of conclusions that people come up with as it relates to how they look at Christmas. What I learned about in this last week as I was thinking of this subject, that there's many people, many Christian people and many non-Christian people that it caused, they look at it and they see how it's treated and how it's people do Christmas and what they don't do, and it changes their mind into many times into a negative perspective of Christmas. For example, we have people who believe that they feel that Christmas is so commercialized, so they do the opposite out of the reaction. Some people don't want anything to do with Christmas because it represents the birth of Christ. And they don't want anything to do with God, so therefore they do everything to not mention Christmas. And they sneak a little partying in with the holiday. But how do we think about the birth of Christ? Or I should say it this way. How we think about the birth of Christ is important. As Christians, we should not let the commercialized Christmas of the world cause us to react with no Christmas. Nor the Christians who have been influenced by the world in how they celebrate the birth of Christ. We shouldn't let other Christians, how they are not really celebrating for the real reason, or people that that have commercialized it, guide us. We need to go back to the root of what we're really doing when we celebrate Christmas, so that we don't become discouraged and we're reacting towards how people do it incorrectly. My goal this morning is not to define the correct way to celebrate Christmas necessarily, but more about how to think about Christmas. If we think correctly about Christmas, that gives us the tools to actually do celebrate the correct way. And I do not believe that I have perfect understanding about this subject, but I want to encourage us to think about it as God would have us think about it. I do not want to cause contention by focusing on why you should or you should not celebrate Christmas. But in its place, I want to first remind us of the reason we celebrate Christmas, and then secondly, suggest some practical thoughts on celebrating Christmas, especially as it relates to our individual families. And toward the end of this message, as it becomes more practical, it may seem to you that I have went off on a little bit more of a angle, but I feel that as we as families relate to Christmas individually, is a bigger issue and has more effects than what we know. And so I just wanted to, I want to get our minds, challenge our minds to think maybe differently than what we have been thinking. So, what is the most important part of the birth of Christ for us to remember and live by? And, you know, Lester's devotions this morning, he quoted some verses that talks about this. But I believe that the most important part for us to remember about the birth of Christ is God loves us. And that's so simple. But I think it's a point that we overlook so much. We take it for granted that God loves us. And that's the beginning of the plan of salvation when Jesus came. But I think that is what God wants. That's what God did by sending his son to tell us that he loves us. So I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the Christmas story there, first 20 verses of it, and get our minds to be thinking down this path a little. This is a very familiar story with all of us, but yet it's a very, if you really take time to think about it, what all happened here, the miracles involved with this story, it's amazing. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. This chapter is an amazing chapter, this passage here. And as we grow up with it and we hear it over and over again, it's easy for us to take it for granted and not really think what's really being said here. But this is really, to me, this is really amazing how God worked this out. And maybe some key points. One thing that sticks out to me in this chapter is God shared his love to us in the most humble way. Out of wedlock, the baby was born out of wedlock in a dirty manger, stable manger, into a culture and society that wasn't really interested in God. He shared his glory to the shepherds out in the hills, lowly men who were rugged and not esteemed important. That's how God came to us as a child, as his son. And I had to think about these shepherds. The shepherd people were, they were not high-esteemed people. I said that already. But remember, I was thinking about, remember when Samuel went out to anoint David king? His father considered him, David was a shepherd. In Jesse, David's father, he didn't even consider David. He didn't even think that David could be the one that God would work through. He just totally erased him from his mind. It could never be. And he would never be fit for a king, and he was anointing a king today. Remember when Jacob's family came down to Egypt, to live in Egypt with Joseph, that Joseph had to go special before the king of before Pharaoh and say, "Listen, my family they're shepherds. They're not well esteemed among your people. Shepherds were the low class people. They maybe weren't considered the real trash, but they were considered awfully close to it. So Joseph had to say, you know, we're shepherds and we would like to be over here so that we don't have to be." You don't have to look at us, maybe, to say. I'm not sure exactly what they were trying to say, but it's brought out that the shepherds were not, they were more misfits. They were rugged people. They didn't fit into normal society. In the land of Palestine, when Jesus was born, things had not changed that much. They were still considered the rugged and lowly people. And Jesus came to them. And he used them to come to the other people to glorify him, to spread his word. And I could go on more about that. That's a whole big subject there. But Jesus came to us in the most unlikely, lowly way, humble way. And that's the way he wants to come to us today, too, yet still. When we are to that place where we humble ourselves and we have an attitude of contriteness and we are there, that's where Jesus wants to meet us today. The same way, it hasn't changed. he seems to work that way among his people. In 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us. He came to us that way because he loved us, not because we loved him. God gave his only son to us that night so many years ago to show us his love through his son to people who didn't realize their need of him." And we still struggle with that today. Maybe this is the same issue that we actually have today. Maybe that is why we have a hard time sometimes getting enthused about Christmas. As you think about what presents you should buy for so-and-so, and you also think that this person is so hard to buy a present for, and you can't think of anything that they might need, which is actually strange if you think about it. Because if you take time to think about that, that's strange, because maybe there's nothing in the store that they do need. But what about some token of love? love itself? Or friendship? Or consideration? And a helping hand, a smile, a prayer? Those kinds of things. You can't buy any of those things in the store. And this is what we all need. More than anything else in our lives, this is what we all need. And we do not want to permit the crowds and the Christmas rush to crowd Christmas out of our hearts. Christmas belongs in our hearts and not in the stores. So let's not give away to cynicism and talk about how Christmas has become commercialized. Christmas will not be commercialized unless we let it be that way. If Christmas is commercialized, it's because we have commercialized it ourselves. If we as Christians do not want anything to do with Christmas, I ask you to be careful, because it could sound like you are saying that I feel no joy that Jesus came into the world. And I don't think you want to say that. I don't want to say that. I don't want to be that kind. You could also be confessing that his presence in the world is not reality to you. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to be that kind of person. Maybe that is a sign that we should read the Christmas story over and over and sit down and meditate upon it and actually see what Luke was really saying in that story. I know that Jesus coming, it's his blood, and it's the finished work of grace when he was on the cross. But the finished work of grace wasn't going to happen until he actually came. And in hindsight, when we look at this story, this is a bigger story than what most of the people could see then. But as we look at it, I feel it should make us rejoice and be excited that Jesus did this for us because he loved us. I know it's a beginning, but you can't have a finish until you have a beginning. So we should thank God for Christmas and make the Spirit last the entirety of our life. Christmas means the beginning of Christianity, the second chance for the world. And we not only want to spend Christmas or observe Christmas, but we want to keep Christmas in our hearts. We want to keep that hope and joy in our hearts that God shared with us in the most magnificent way. So again, Christmas is the beginning of the kingdom that we as Christians want to be totally engaged in. For us to ignore or to react to the Christmas season because of the way the world is misrepresenting Christmas may not be the best idea if we want to be engaged in the kingdom of God. Satan, the prince of this world, you know, he tries very hard, and he does a pretty good job. I don't want to tell him that, but as I look around, I see him doing a pretty good job of deceiving people. He takes the good things that are from God, and he turns it into something confusing and complex to understand. And he loves when Christians react towards something good from God. And we see a lot of that when it comes to the birth of Christ in the story. We see how the world and how even Christians themselves have made it a confusing, contentious matter among some people. But the root of the issue, I believe God wants us to keep Christmas in our hearts, worshiping and glorifying Him like the shepherds and angels were doing. I believe that's what God wants us to do. So now I want to make this a little more practical. As we go about our lives during this season, there are things we're going to do. Some of you probably have already done this. We're going to go Christmas shopping for gifts. We're going to exchange gifts with our families. We're going to have family gatherings. Businesses are going to have special dinners and share in some way with their employees. We're going to take extra time off of work. We're going to do special activities. We're going to eat food that is special. Some of it we don't even need. And there are two main ways that I want to encourage us to keep this season, Christmas season. The number one way is share the love of God as the main focus of all these different activities that you do. Keep focused that whatever I'm doing here, I'm sharing the love of God. That's what I want to do, by your words and by your actions. And number two, that I want us to try to do this season more than we've ever done, is use this time to teach our children as we keep Christmas. We want our children to recognize Christmas properly, correctly. So back to number one point. As you are shopping during the season, let's remember most people are not Christmas shopping for the right reason. Most people think whatever they are buying to celebrate Christmas will make them happy and give them joy. And they're wrong. So it's a good time for us to be kind. I'm not saying that you need to go out and witness during this season. If you don't want to go out Christmas shop, hey, I'm with you. I don't think you have to. I don't believe that you need to. But if you are out there, be Christ-like and show Christ's love to all those people who are greedily buying to make themselves happy. Be kind and considerate and respectful. Give people a smile of good cheer. I lost my place here a little bit. Don't get upset with them, especially when they butt in line, and that happens a lot. That's a good time for you to share them somehow God's love. Don't let yourself be consumed with the greed that's raging throughout the world. Don't let yourself get into that greed. That's not what Christmas is about. And don't wait until Christmas Day to do all the good deeds to your neighbors. Show them love all the time, especially during this season, though. And now as it relates to our own families, I would like to speak to us as parents a little. And I'm not saying these things to criticize you as parents. I'm wanting to encourage you. And I don't know if I have my words said it. I want to say them in the right tone, but please understand it. I'm not trying to knock you down. I want you to be encouraged. But this season, we have an opportunity to teach our children some of the most valuable principles that we can. And remember in our teaching that more is caught by our example than what we teach by our words. That is not saying we should not teach by our words, but only saying that we should make sure that what we say lines up with what we believe and what we teach. I think that it's a good thing that more is caught than taught, but a struggle that we have as parents is we tend to teach different than what we actually do, and that doesn't work very well. And then we also struggle with not teaching enough. We don't teach nothing because. I believe the easiest mistake we easily make with our children is to not teach them correctly about Christmas. There's a lot of other things we need to teach too, but I'm focusing mainly on Christmas right now. It is natural for us to teach them that Christmas, what's going to happen naturally is that we're going to teach them that Christmas is all about me and ourselves. And that's totally, we're missing the whole point. We cannot do that. We have to be careful about that. Be diligent to teach them that Christmas is about sharing God's love. That's the important issue that we want to teach our children. And if you financially cannot afford to buy gifts for your kids, that is not an excuse to not celebrate Christmas. That's actually a better excuse that you can celebrate Christmas. The true Christmas teaching is about receiving God's love in our personal lives and sharing it with everyone around us. And I do not know how all of you feel or about giving Christmas gifts to your children, or whether you do or not. That's not my point this morning. But I want to encourage us as parents about the best gifts that we can give our kids. True, sincere love, in whichever form of love they need it. You know, tough love is the one that we have the hardest time giving, but the results can be the best gift you as a parent can give your children. Give them the gift of instruction of how to live, teaching them humility. You know, the world lies to their children about Santa Claus. And also says, if you are good, Santa will bring you a gift, and if you are bad, Santa won't bring you anything, which is messed up. I believe everybody here agrees with it. It's wrong. It's not right. We do, and I believe most people here, we're not going to lie to our children about Santa Claus. But in retrospect, do we love our children enough to give the Christmas gift of teaching them how to respect, how to be obedient, have a conscience, the gift of being engaged with them and understanding what's going on in all of their lives? I just want to encourage us as parents to keep Christmas in your hearts as you think of your children. And I know that's a common thing that you all might say, well, we always do that. Well, I, for one, fail many times. And and I was just thinking yesterday as I was studying that I think that the best gift I can give this season is the gift of love to my children, to my grandchildren, and not just showing them love in giving them gifts, but love of instruction, of teaching, of helping them to learn, and showing them about God's love that way. So, you know, we need to love our children the best we can and give up our selfishness. In closing, the two points that I want us to take with us today is keep the true spirit of Christmas in your hearts. Put it into action. Be an example of what Christ would want you to show everyone you come in contact with. And number two, back to parents again, let's share God's love with our children, giving our full attention. Let's not be scared of our children. Do not be frustrated with our children. Be patient and be engaged with them. Luke 2, verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." See, that's what God did to us. He gave us, his children, the gift of love in the most fullest extent that we could ever imagine. And that's what he wants us to give our children, our ancestors, to carry on this gift of salvation and instruction and teaching of how to live and to make it in this world. So don't miss Christmas this year. Let's keep Christmas in our hearts and share with our words in our actions.